The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
One thing about Sammy has some moxie, man.
It's a fake. Darnold keeps it and will score. Carolina leads.
We're starting to find our identity as an offense.
And the throw, Moore caught. Slick ball handling by QB14.
I'm just going to continue to do my job.
Darnold, quarterback sneak. Touchdown, Carolina Panthers.
I've always had a lot of confidence. That's never going to change.
The Panthers are off to a 3-0 start with last night's win. And this preseason, ESPN's Football Power Index gave Carolina just a 29% chance to make the playoffs, ranking 11th in the NFC. But after this hot start, the Panthers have a 69% chance to make the postseason. That's the fourth highest in the conference, behind only the Buccaneers, Rams, and 49ers. That's the good news about Carolina, but it wasn't all good news. Field Yates, take us through some injuries from last night.
Yeah, Laura, unfortunately, the Carolina Panthers MVP left this game early. That, of course, is Christian McCaffrey, their running back, who suffered a hamstring injury, a strain specifically, that's going to cost him at least a few weeks. Head coach Matt Rhule, speaking just a little while ago, wasn't ready to put a specific time on it, but their best player is now going to miss time for the second straight season. Chuba Hubbard, the next man up in that backfield. And then from bad to worse, as the eighth overall pick, J.C. Horn, a first-round pick out of South Carolina, suffered a broken foot. Specifically, three bones in his foot, Laura. He's going to miss an extended period of time, and he and his family are currently deciding whether he should undergo season-ending surgery. A standout player for the Panthers early, he is now going to potentially miss the rest of their season.
Yeah, so disappointing for the Panthers and for Horn. As we welcome you into NFL Live, more Field Yates throughout the show. Ryan Clark shaking his head. The fellow DB hates to see it. Mina Kimes and Marcus Spears. And coming up a little later on, we'll tell you why this is the time this week for Trey Lance to really get going for the 49ers. But let's begin with a Sunday slate and everything you need to know about this weekend. Mina, what are you looking forward to most?
Much like the entire city of Chicago, I am ready to watch Justin Fields. Went back and rewatched his play coming in for relief for Andy Dalton last weekend and upon the advice of our colleague Dan Orlovsky. And I was more impressed on my second watch because Allen Robinson, you got to catch that ball, man. He looked decisive, accurate, throwing the ball deep, and I'm excited to see how he looks in his first real NFL start.
Them second looks always work. I'm looking for Derek Carr on a third look to see if he can continue on this trend that he's on. Right now, he's squarely in the MVP conversation. Will he continue this against the Miami Dolphins, whose defense is really predicated on takeaways? Carr has been able to go over the top, some slow starts, but coming on late. Las Vegas Raiders for real, y'all.
Well, for me, listen, I'm looking for who's going to win the Bill Parcells Bowl. Will it be Sean Payton or will it be Bill Belichick? Obviously, what they can do defensively in New England is going to be a huge deal because the quarterback on the other side is Jameis Winston. If you saw the Carolina Panthers take total control of the line of scrimmage, total control of the backfield against the New Orleans Saints, then you know what type of pressure Jameis Winston was under. So just think what Bill Belichick's going to try to do.
And guys, I'll go ahead and call this one the game of the week. Brady versus Stafford, Bucks at Rams. Bruce Arians already said he plans to do what he usually does when he plays against Stafford, coming out early to watch his pregame workout, calling Stafford one of the most talented players he's seen. And the players know just how big this game is, too.
I have a ton of respect for what he's been able to accomplish both in New England and now in Tampa. What a great leader to be able to do what he's done at two different spots and really, you know, elevate the guys around him. I mean, he's playing great football, about as good as I've ever seen him play.
This is one of those games that's going to be a lot of hype. You know, you kind of have that, you know, bitter taste. They came in here, beat us, you know, in the last couple minutes on a game-winning field goal. Gets the jitters going, though, with games like this. It'll be a good one.
This week's really challenging because they have good players in the secondary and they have a good front. We lost to them last year. Been one of the top-rated defenses in the league, one of the greatest defensive players of all time. So everything about this week is challenging. It's a big game for both of us.
A key matchup to watch in this one, Tampa Bay's pass rush against the Rams offensive line. The Bucs rank first in pass rush win rate, while the Rams rank fourth in pass block win rate this season. Los Angeles' strong play up front has allowed Stafford the ability to air it out. He averages over 11 yards per attempt when kept clean. That's second most in the NFL this season. And RC, a big reason why Stafford said he wanted to leave Detroit is to play in these big games, play in games that matter. Yeah. The stage doesn't get much bigger than having Tom Brady to come to town. Is there a lot of pressure and something to prove for Stafford this weekend?
Absolutely. And I know people are going to say, well, it's week three. What can you prove in week three? Hell, you can prove a lot, especially when a team gives up a first round pick player to get you. And then they give up more picks on top of that. And you were brought there to elevate this team. You were brought there because Sean McVay didn't feel like when a Tom Brady was on the other sideline, he had his own guy. Well, now he's supposed to. And so Matthew Stafford has to elevate this team, but still play within himself. Understand that when it gets to situational football moments, when it's those critical parts of the game, he has to excel. And be honest, he hasn't had this opportunity. Detroit wasn't in no big games. Detroit wasn't winning. Nobody was walking into Detroit when they had plans on winning the Super Bowl, like they were nervous about playing that team. Hell yeah, Matthew Stafford has been talented, but he has not been in these situations very often, and he has not been in them against the GOAT. It's going to be exciting to see what he can do, but he has to prove to himself, Sean McVay, the Los Angeles Rams, that he's the guy for this job and that he was worth all they gave up to get him.
Talk your talk, Brody. I'm excited. Hey, Elfie, what do I pour in my glass on Friday afternoon?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even need you to finish that. I already knew you were talking about yak.
You already know, and this is what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to eliminate. They better make sure the Los Angeles Rams are not on that yak in this game. Because last year they were. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp had a day after getting that ball in their hands. And this ended up being the reason why they suffered a three-point loss. They have to get these receivers on the ground. Look, Matt Stafford obviously brings another element of pushing the ball downfield. But this is still a big part of their repertoire, getting the ball out of their quarterback hands quickly and allowing their playmakers to make plays in space. Hey, Tampa, y'all better make sure them Rams ain't on that yak after this game.
I mean, usually we're proponents of being on that yak on this show, but in this particular case, it's good advice. Mina, let's look at the other side of the ball. When Tom Brady and the Bucs have the ball, what is the biggest concern for them?
Well, Laura, I think like a lot of us, I've had an eye at this game since before the season. And just thinking through the matchups and how the Rams could possibly defend, like every defense, all of the Bucs' weapons, you got to think Jalen Ramsey's deployment is going to be similar actually to what we've seen so far through the season, which he's been played all over the field. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes Mike Evans on early downs, moves inside to defend Chris Godwin from the slot. To me, going into this, again, before last week, I thought, okay, if Jalen Ramsey takes out Evans and then Godwin's in certain situations, who's going to defend Antonio Brown? Well, now that's not a problem because Antonio Brown's not playing in this game. And I got to say, I think that absence is enormous in this particular game when you go to the matchups. Mm-hmm. Because while the Bucs have a really deep receiving core, like a Scotty Miller, the Rams are really good at taking away the deep ball. The depth is just simply not comparable when Antonio Brown's not in the game, and it actually is why I think the Rams defense is going to look better than perhaps I expected coming into the season.
Yeah, you wonder if this one is even more to your point, Mina, on red zone Robbie G, as Rob Gronkowski called himself on the Manning Monday Night Football broadcast, because listen, they're going to have to find opportunities to work these other weapons in more. All right, we got more coming on a lot of games, but some injury updates to get to, as quarterbacking injuries have been a story of the week. Let's bring Field Yates back in. A lot of fantasy owners interested in this as well. What do we know, Field, starting with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, some good news and bad news in Baltimore, Laura, as Lamar Jackson practiced in full today. He's technically listed as questionable, but he's going to start against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Remember, he was sick with a non-COVID illness on Thursday. The stomach bug Bad news is they have four players, including Justin Madubuike, who were placed on the COVID list just a few moments ago. Now going to Indianapolis, Carson Wentz injected some hope today for this team as he returned to practice with two sprained ankles. He is officially questionable in a game time decision for their matchup on Sunday against Tennessee Titans. The way the Colts are speaking, though, they seem to believe there is a chance they will have their starting quarterback on Sunday. Good news in Pittsburgh is Ben Roethlisberger off the injury report. He's good to go with that left pec injury suffered last week against the Raiders. He will play on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. He will not have, however, wide receiver Diontae Johnson. He's out due to a knee injury suffered late last Sunday. And the Raiders also have some good news, bad news. The good news is Derek Carr will play. He's off the injury report. Josh Jacobs, meanwhile, is doubtful to play after an ankle injury suffered back in week one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Sam Darnold with 304 passing yards and two rushing touchdowns. But Marcus, we did see Christian McCaffrey go down in the game. How big of an injury is that for the Panthers?
First, man, I'm so devastated for Christian McCaffrey. I was so looking forward to him having a bounce back season, and he was on his way. And it's a huge loss for this offense because you lose a percentage of how much you want to get the ball in his hands and how dynamic he is and how much he changes the way defenses have to respect and play you when he's on the football field. But I do have some hope in Joe Brady and Matt Rhule and the way that they've spread this football around already. What has been so impressive about Sam Darnold is not only using his athleticism, but spreading it to DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall and Tremble got involved. And I believe Freeman and Chuba Hubbard will be a nice tandem out of the backfield. It's all about Joe Brady and Sam Darnold figuring out ways to have everyone included and not be heavy CMC dependent. And they weren't in that first half against the Texans, and they had some success as well. So I expect them to still play well, but it's a huge loss.
As big as that is, on the defensive side, you lose rookie superstar J.C. Horn. This is a guy that's been the starter at corner since the morning he walked into the building. And he's shown that along with Dante Jackson, they form a group that is great for matching like body types. Last night, we saw Dante Jackson on Brandon Cooks because he's the faster, quicker receiver. J.C. Horn on the other side. Now you lose that ability, which we've seen so many teams employ when you do have great players like J.C. Horn. And so now Phil Snow is going to have to figure out a way to cover that up, maybe drop it to a little bit more zone, do some more disguising. I obviously utilize that great front line that he has, but this was a defense that was playing like one of the best in the NFL, already starting to show that this team was going to be different going forward this season. But when you lose a key cog like that, it changes what you do schematically, and also from a talent level, there's going to be a huge drop off from the number one corner on the team to the third.
Yeah, Ryan, you make a great point about the adjustments that defensive coordinator Phil Snow is going to have to make, because when they drafted J.C. Horn 8th overall, my immediate reaction was like, wait, the Panthers defense, they played the most zone in the NFL last year.
Right.
And then I realized, well, that was probably because of the personnel, and they drafted J.C.
Mm-hmm.
who's like a press man corner, thinking, okay, now we have a guy where if we can play a little bit more man on third down, and that option is now gone. I mean, they do have AJ Bouye who's going to be coming down from a suspension, certainly a capable cornerback. But J.C. Horn was looking like, you know, like Ryan, like you said, a rising young star. And as good as his front seven is, The problems now with the secondary are going to make life a lot harder for them, especially next week. And you look at the schedule and you see, oh, they got Dallas coming to town.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Again, Field Yates reported off the top of the show that J.C. Horn and his family trying to decide on whether or not he's going to get season-ending surgery on that broken foot. Let's get more from Field here with his DraftKings Daily Fantasy lineup. Field, who's making your roster this week?
Yeah, Laura, we got a great set here for week three. And let's start by mentioning Jalen Reagor, the Eagles' second-year wide receiver, who in week one had a touchdown. In week two, he scored a touchdown that was called back because he stepped out of bounds at the four-yard line and illegally touched the football. I wonder what his price would be if that touchdown had been ruled successful on the field. Meanwhile, Monday night, I expect that Trevon Diggs, the excellent Cowboys cornerback, will be shadowing or closely monitoring Devontae Smith. We know that Dallas secondary beyond Trevon Diggs still a work in progress. Meanwhile, Courtland Sutton led the NFL in air yards last week, 250 of them. That's 61 more than anybody else. He's a vertical threat, as you're seeing right here. He faces the Jets on Sunday at home. That Jets secondary, as we know, still so very inexperienced. And then as we look towards our quarterback, Daniel Jones at $5,800 is one of the best values on the board. He faces a Falcons defense that has really struggled so far this season, is short in terms of personnel. And Daniel Jones had six designed runs last Thursday night, Laura. As we all know, he's a great athlete. He can do damage with his legs, especially if the Giants are creating opportunities for him like they did last week. I would love to see that continue going forward. The Giants need to get a win in a major way. Daniel Jones could be in line for a big week. And with a couple of value plays right there, Laura, what we were able to do is spend up for a guy like Alvin Kamara and Tyler Lockett, who's been the hottest wide receiver in the NFL to start the season. And then keep an eye on the Titans for a defensive option this week, especially if Carson Wentz is unable to go. There's your way to make a whole bunch of money and start your Christmas shopping early or something.
I love it, Field. Why not? Yeah, you told us off the top of the show, Carson Wentz going to be a game time decision. So I like that play there.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Aaron Rodgers bounced week one by throwing for four touchdowns on Monday Night Football against Detroit. Of course, Rodgers dominated the headlines all offseason with talks of him wanting out of Green Bay. But 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan was asked this week if he ever really thought Rodgers could end up in San Francisco. Listen to this.
I called Matt about seeing if Aaron Rodgers was available. I mean, did you feel like totally confident about that? You feel a little sheepish? Like, oh, geez, he's going to laugh at me or something like that?
Yeah, I thought it would be a quick no, which it was exactly what I thought it would be. But you hear enough stuff, and I think everyone knew what was going on at that time, that it didn't seem like it was worth the call, but I know how we would have felt if it was going to happen and that we didn't call. So you call and you get a quick answer, which is what you were expecting, and then you move on.
Aaron, at any point this offseason, did you think or hope you'd be playing for San Francisco this year?
There were points where I thought anything was possible, definitely, but not a strong possibility.
Ooh, man, this plot thickens. Field, how close were we to Rodgers landing in San Francisco?
Well, Laura, the Packers will tell you that nothing was close because they were intent the entire offseason on keeping Aaron Rodgers. But let's not forget, Rodgers himself admitted that he thought there was a chance he was headed to either Denver or San Francisco as a potential trade option this offseason. And Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, maybe this is just due diligence. This is also the same team, but that when they were trying to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo a handful of years back, their GM, John Lynch, said to Bill Belichick, "What's the price tag for Tom Brady?" So maybe not necessarily close, but I think all these comments underscore just how real and legitimate the friction was this offseason between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and why, no matter what happens with them this season, it is going to be a major, major storyline to follow next offseason as well.
Yeah, let's do that whole thing next offseason.
Oh,
again,
I can't
to
wait.
Your point, Field. Let's take it to the game. I know, right? Let's take it to the game on Sunday against the 49ers. Some bad news for the Packers offensively. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's right. Their left tackle, Elgton Jenkins, a guy who's a star basically anywhere he plays, but right now filling in David Bakhtiari's spot, is doubtful to play after an ankle injury suffered this past week. So he is doubtful, which means the team will have to either turn to most likely Billy Turner, who's been playing right tackle for them, or Dennis Kelly, a veteran who's played for the Titans most recently prior to signing with the Packers this offseason. But when you're facing off against a Bosa brother, you typically like to have your starting left tackle. It sounds like the Packers will not, and the strength of their team so far this season has not been the protection of Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it hasn't. And Marcus, when you think about what Field just mentioned there with Bosa on the other side and trying to protect Aaron Rodgers and keep him clean, you're going Woosa. Are you praying for Aaron Rodgers? What are your thoughts?
I'm just hoping he can overcome it. Listen, this is huge. Like, we talked about how big it was when Bakhtiari went down throughout the playoff run, and now you lose your next best offensive lineman in Elgton Jenkins. And you think about this matchup, and you think about what the Green Bay Packers have struggled with even in week one. Aaron Rodgers was under a lot of duress, and now you lose the guy that's protecting them. So, listen, Green Bay has had a lot of things go on, and we still give them benefit of the doubt because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. And we believe that he can overcome a lot of things that other quarterbacks can't overcome. But the one thing you very rarely can overcome as a quarterback is protection. And that's very concerning going into this game, especially in the NFC when Green Bay is already down one in the NFC to the New Orleans Saints. So therein lies a huge issue as far as going forward, but also currently in protecting your quarterback. And not only that, positioning for you down the road throughout the season. That's why week 3, 4, 5 are so important. Everybody like, oh, they got time, they'll be a better football team. No, this is what's great about the NFL. You're jockeying for position week one. And the Green Bay Packers are in a precarious situation without that protection for Aaron Rodgers.
So, Mina, the 49ers didn't get Aaron Rodgers. They got Trey Lance instead. We still have Jimmy G. Is this the week where we see more Trey Lance out there?
God, I hope so. I mean, look, last week, they didn't allow him to do much. It was just like Screen City over there. But he didn't do anything that made you think, man, you got to stick with Garoppolo. Now, this week, you're playing a Packers defense that has been abysmal at setting the edge. I can't believe the stat is real, but they're actually allowing, so far, again, small sample size, opposing teams to rush for 9.2 yards per carry on runs outside the tackle. And in San Francisco, you got offense that's lost all their running backs, and now the best rusher on this team is your third overall draft pick, who runs like a jacked gazelle. Why would you not play him in this game? I guarantee you, the Packers defense does not want to see Trey Lance. Packers fans, who still remember that vision of Colin Kaepernick slicing through their run defense, they don't want to see Trey Lance. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, maybe I don't start Trey, but I give Trey a lot of run in this matchup.
Oh my God! Mina.
Jacked gazelle, RC.
Them jacked gazelle legs look like the top of Laura's sleeve. They swole out here.
Oh, I knew that was good. Look. Hey, I only worked out my shoulders today.
Work it out.
playing.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm gonna be honest. You know, I've never seen a Jack Gazelle, but I have seen this Green Bay Packers defense. And you don't need to be a Jack Gazelle. You could be a small ostrich. You could be a roadrunner. It really doesn't matter because they aren't putting up much of a fight. And if you are Trey Lance, if you are Kyle Shanahan, and you do have this ace kind of in your card deck, I think you have to play him. This is the time. Jimmy Garoppolo is not doing anything to set the world on fire. Matter of fact, he's never done anything to set the world on fire. And if you have this quarterback with this unique skill set that you moved up to number three to draft, that you claim was brilliant, that you bragged about so much in the offseason, so much in the preseason, then give him some run. This is an opportunity to throw something different at the Green Bay Packers that they aren't prepared for, but also they aren't physically stacked for. And so if I'm Kyle Shanahan, this is the week I put him in a positive situation and I allow him to do something good for my team, also good for himself.
Yeah, I hope that happens. Hey, guys, just to recap, we had a jacked gazelle, a small ostrich, and a roadrunner that made it into that conversation about the Packers and the 49ers. All right, let's get to some game picks here. We're going to start with you, RC. Justin Fields getting his first career start. And this is on the road in Cleveland. Oh, man. Yeah. All right, wait a second. Am I that one on the right? What's going on? Mina's a blonde again.
These are somehow
you guys
getting weirder.
Are unbelievable. They are super weird. RC, who you got in this Browns and Bears game?
Listen, I would love to pick the Bears so Justin Fields could win and remain the quarterback and make Matt Nagy not be Matt Nagy, but I believe the Cleveland Browns win when you're getting rushed by Myles Garrett, when you have a Denzel Ward on the other side, but also a Nick Chubb and a Kareem Hunt to control the football. I think the Browns have a little too much, and they'll spoil Justin Fields' debut.
Mina, Bengals and Steelers in Pittsburgh. Who wins?
Ugh, this game's going to be ugly. I just know it. And if it's an ugly game, I'm going to go with the team with the better defense. That's Pittsburgh. I don't feel great about it. Don't love the news that Deontay Johnson's not playing. But I think the Steelers defense, regardless of the status of TJ Watt, can pull this one out.
Marcus, who picks up their first win of the season, Falcons or Giants?
I have the Giants in this one because the Atlanta Falcons yep. are not planning on playing defense until 2022. And the New York Giants play the Washington football team. Use Daniel Jones' athleticism to make plays. But this is a New York Giants team that's looking for a win and probably feel like they should already have one against the Washington football team.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Let's roll through some of the major injuries around the NFL, bringing Field Yates back in here. Field, take us through some of these, beginning with Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland.
Yeah, let's start on the positive note here, Laura, is Odell Beckham Jr. is not just going to play on Sunday. He's off the injury report entirely, of course, still coming back from that ACL suffered in the middle of last season. Good news for the Cleveland Browns, who will not have Jarvis Landry, who missed his first ever game due to injury on Sunday, but OBJ will be back out there when they play the Chicago Bears. Excellent news for the Browns. Meanwhile, Josh Jacobs is doubtful to play on Sunday because of an ankle issue suffered all the way back in week one. He did not play last week, did not participate in practice at all this week. Assuming he is out, more of Kenyon Drake against his former team against the Dolphins, and also some Peyton Barber, who got some carries for Las Vegas last Sunday. Meanwhile, T. Higgins has a shoulder issue that has placed him as doubtful to play on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Keep in mind, Laura, the Bengals play again on Thursday night against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You kind of have to manage the big picture here. And then one more injury to mention on the way out here, Laura, is DeAndre Hopkins' hip issue. Game time decision, according to the Arizona Cardinals. That being said, as teammates noted throughout the week, DeAndre Hopkins does not miss games. You can count on him being out there on Sunday against the Jaguars.
Yeah, you hope to see that for them. But listen, that offense has been clicking either way. Thanks for that, Field. Let's get to some smart lineup decisions provided by IBM Watson. And this week, Bills quarterback Josh Allen has a high projection of over 26 fantasy points, a low of over 17 points. His projected total of 21.7 fantasy points this weekend ranks fourth among all quarterbacks. So that's the good, right? Allen looks to be a strong fantasy value pick this week, but his quarterback play has been subpar at best this season. Through two games, Allen ranks 22nd in total QBR, 31st in completion percentage, 33rd in yards per attempt. Those were all areas Allen ranked top five in just last season. I know it's early, Mina, but do these numbers paint an accurate picture?
Yeah, he hasn't played well. I mean, he has not looked like the 2020 MVP candidate version of Josh Allen. He has looked more like he did in 2018 and 2019. I've been reluctant to panic because it should be noted he did play a very good Pittsburgh defense that had a very good game plan for him. And then the Dolphins defense is good as well, especially that secondary. But watching him, Laura, he has looked less decisive than he did last year, inaccurate, throwing the ball downfield at times. So to me, this is a really important week for Josh Allen. We want to see him revert back to the player we saw last year. And I'm going to wait one more week before I start to worry a lot, but I will be keeping a close eye on his performance now.
Yeah, maybe an important week for Brian Daboll, too. And the Bills, as you mentioned, facing Washington. Mm-hmm. This is a defense that we had huge expectations for coming into the season, and they haven't lived up to that. A lot of people here even picking them to win that division. Their defense not living up to some of that hype. It seemed like, Marcus, everybody loved them. What does the tape say about their performance so far?
Yeah, not getting as much pressure up front when you start talking about how you affect games, and on the back end it's being exposed because it is so lenient and dependent on those guys up front speeding quarterbacks up and forcing them into bad decisions. It's not like the Washington football defense is not good, but you see here the pass rush win rate 10 spots back and the sack percentage is 5 spots back. And this is what this team is predicated on. This is Jack Del Rio's calling card. The big guys up front dictating to offenses how they're going to operate. They're not doing it at a high clip like they did last year. And understandably so, it is so difficult to back up that type of defensive performance that you have because everybody game plans in order to negate those guys up front. So they're going to have to figure out how to counter that. I'm sure they'll get it going with so much talent up front, but that back end cannot become so dependent on those guys up front forcing quarterbacks into bad decisions. They have to hold up their end of the bargain as well.
ESPN's Football Power Index has the Bills as heavy favorites in this one. We'll see what happens. Let's get to the Saints and Jameis Winston. And Jameis threw two interceptions last week after being heavily pressured by the Panthers defense. This after a great week one performance right against the Packers. The challenge this week, it's only Bill Belichick and the Patriots defense. RC, we've seen one good game and one not so good game from Jameis. What do you expect? What version do you expect out of him against Bill Belichick and these Pats?
You know, I don't expect the version that is turning the football over at an extremely high clip, but I think that the Pats will put pressure on them. They will look at that Carolina film and make sure they move Jameis Winston off the spot. If you go back to week one against the Green Bay Packers, there wasn't a lot of pressure. This team, the New Orleans Saints, were in the lead the entire game, so Jameis Winston didn't have to press. He didn't have to try to force and make a play. That wasn't the case against the Carolina Panthers, and we've already talked about the Carolina Panthers and who they are up front. They got pressure on Jameis Winston. Got pressure in his face, moved him outside of the pocket, and then we saw old Jameis. We saw Jameis that slips against Oregon in bowl games and just throws the ball up in the air. He can't turn into that guy anymore, because if he does, Bill Belichick will pressure and disguise and force him into mistake after mistake after mistake, and we just might have to see Taysom Hill, and that's something that Jameis Winston doesn't want, because I believe if he goes to the bench, he never comes off.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, one thing, too, about the Saints, last week, of course, they were without so many of their assistant coaches due to their COVID-19 issues. Mm-hmm. The Saints just tweeted out, Ryan Nielsen, Brian Young, Dan Rochard will not be in attendance in Sunday's game due to COVID-19 protocols. So still missing three essential coaches. O-line, D-line, that's important. The headlines will be about the quarterback matchup this Sunday as Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes go at it, but maybe we should be paying more attention to the defenses. In fact, through their first two games this season, the Chiefs defense ranks last in pass rush win rate and 25th in pressure percentage. Obviously less than ideal for a team that's using $47 million of their cap space this season on their D-line, second most in the NFL. And Marcus, we're now 2 weeks into Chris Jones as a defensive end. What do you think about what you've seen from that?
Yeah, y'all see me trying to put these ugly glasses on. They do not fit, okay? They don't fit. Too slim, my head too big, and I'm more productive when I wear my 9.5ers. Here's the bottom line, man. Chris Jones does not need to play defensive end. He needs to be on the interior. He needs to be closer to the quarterback. He was number one in pass rush win rate last year from a three technique and working the inside. That doesn't mean you don't get multiple. That doesn't mean you don't put him on the outside at times in special situations. But he needs to major in the center of the line of scrimmage. Listen, pressure now in the NFL is about who can get it up the middle of the pocket. Quarterbacks off the spot, get them to move. No, the DNs are great. The Miles Garrett, the TJ Watts, the guys that are elite and upper echelon, by no means am I saying you don't need to have those guys. But the importance of interior pass rush has grown over the last few years, and Chris Jones is out of position, and he need to be in the three technique to help this Chiefs defense.
This just got even more interesting because this just crossed that Chris Jones is questionable in this game. Frank Clark is doubtful. Man. So something to keep an eye on big time as you think about the Chargers offense. I know, right? Those are probably the sounds of people who might be picking the Chiefs. All right, Mina, let's look at the Chiefs and their offense for a minute. What's the game plan look like Sunday against the Chargers? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'll say Patrick Mahomes is the harder matchup in this one. The Chargers defense has been playing better, although they don't really have that much of an interior pass rusher either. But I would say for Mahomes, and we'll see this against all good defenses that the Chiefs play, it's all about the counter approach because we know what the Chargers are going to do. They're going to try to take away Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. That's what every defense is going to try to do. Easier said than done. But I do think they have the personnel to do it, which Ryan will talk about. So my question for Mahomes is, okay, if you're able to bracket Hill and take out Kelce, can you go to your secondary options? Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson. Can you run the ball, Clyde Edwards-Helaire? We just saw this Chargers defense got run over by Dallas. Can the Chiefs do that in this game? I think that's going to be available to them. So my question is, okay, can you take what's given to you and put together long, efficient drives?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're the Los Angeles Chargers, your chess piece or your masterpiece or your king, the thing that moves the best is Derwin James. Derwin James is the guy that can play on all three levels. We've watched him run in motion over with wide receivers and make it look like man-to-man, get to the flat, come up, and make huge tackles. Also, people don't remember Derwin James played defensive end in college against the Florida Gators, and he flipped the tackle. Then he gets to the league, and he does the same thing against the Dallas Cowboys. And even if you ask him to get on the outside and be man-to-man, locked up with a wide receiver, run across or across the field, he can cover that as well. Derwin James is the ultimate chess piece. I think he'll be used sometimes to be over the top of Tyreek Hill. I think he'll be used in the run game as well. But his most important move, his most important job will be man-to-man against Travis Kelce. We've seen him all training camp year after year after year go one-on-one with Keenan Allen. Who better to get you prepared for a guy like Travis Kelce? I can't wait for this matchup. I can't wait to see Derwin James all over the field and how he'll be used, but also how the Kansas City Chiefs will attack him.
A reminder, Patrick Mahomes is 16-2 in divisional games in his career. Time for one more thing before we go here and get you guys off to watch Sunday's games. The Rams have Super Bowl aspirations, which means Matt Stafford has to go through the man that's been doing that the most. Stafford has the most yards and touchdown passes of any player all time without a playoff win, while Tom Brady boasts NFL records with 34 wins and 7 Super Bowl titles. Entering this weekend, the Buccaneers and Rams have the two highest chances to reach the Super Bowl out of the NFC, according to ESPN's Football Power Index that you see there. The two teams meeting in SoFi Stadium Sunday, which also just happens to be where Super Bowl 56 will be in February. All right, let's pick this one. RC, you're up first.
Listen, I'm going with the Rams, and I know people are going to say you never pick against Tommy, but I'm doing it right now. This game is such a proven game for Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. It's Matthew Stafford's opportunity to be in those big games that he talked about, and it's Sean McVay's time to prove that getting rid of Jared Goff was the right decision. I got the Rams winning this one 31-27.
Yeah, RC, I'm with you. I'm going to Rams, too, but I'm going 24-21. It was a close game last year. I just believe Aaron Donald and that front will be a lot for Tom Brady, and it'll slow down a little bit on the 9 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks. This is a defensive game for me. This is about who can make whose quarterback more uncomfortable. I'm a bet on Aaron Donald.
Oh, God, I'm a little bit nervous now because I'm also taking the Rams. I don't think this is a defensive game.
No.
I think this is an offensive game. I know. I think both offenses are going to go off. The Bucs have JPP not in this game. Injuries in the secondary. The Rams offense has been so explosive. Don't see that stopping now. And I'm nervous to see what Laura does.
Lord, you guys, Tampa. We're doing it again. I'm picking the Rams.
No.
I want to change my pick right now, to be totally honest.
No.
And this one was really close. I had the same score as Mina, 31-30. They're all saying no, in case you don't know, because we have a little curse that happens here on NFL Live, but we've kind of gone against it. By the way, you saw Jalen Ramsey there. Did you guys know he has not given up a touchdown pass this season? He also hasn't given up a pass over 20 yards since 2019. I think it actually comes down to him making a few big plays,
like,
but I wish one of us took
just
what are
ran
we doing?
$100 million. El Boogie, I'm glad you didn't
Jack's
float
Gazelle,
away.
We'll see you on Monday.